Today is Dusty Rhodes' birthday, and to celebrate, we're going to be talking about his kids, the next generation of his kids. It is the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. Stay with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I know it's only been like a week, and like I wasn't on the show last week, but I forgot what the intro sounded like. So when it started, I was like, what's this? Oh, yeah, it's the same intro that we've had for the past, like, year. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz Wrestling and Sports. We are down one member of the NXT tonight. Bill is taking care of his sick cat. There's been a lot of cat business this week.
Very pet-friendly show, yes. So we don't look down on him for that. Not
no, anyway. Not at all. And the best to him. You can follow him at Sundown Motel. Send him some good vibes because he's looking for him. I'm one of your hosts here, and it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I wasn't here last week because I got a cyst removed from my head.
Oh,
happy
see,
times!
I told everybody it was a full lobotomy. So I was pretty surprised to see you.
You know, by the way, I've been feeling and reacting to certain people. Maybe. But that sultry, sexy voice that you might compare to the Velveteen Dream himself.
Yeah.
He actually did the VO of the Velveteen Dream's theme song. That's the true hobo.
I'm pure sex. Pure.
Yep.
I mean,
it's the pigtails.
Yeah. No, it's just the braids.
Yeah.
I just wanted my hair out of my goddamn way.
I don't blame you. You can find him on Twitter at the True Hobo.
Yep. True Hobo. On
I
Twitter.
I grew a beard?
No.
Did I not have a beard last time?
You have a beard? Somebody just doesn't pay attention.
Thanks, Mecca Baloney. Anyway, this was a super super tight packed show,
yeah.
And as we were watching it, I was like, "Oh, yeah." But then stuff started really happening, and that's not to say that in order the matches weren't that exciting, but ultimately there were some things in here that really got me thinking about the product, where it's headed, where it is stagnant in some places, and places where it's starting to look bright again. Not to say that it was dim before, but there are certain competitors that we're going to be talking about. So please, in case you didn't know, make sure to join us at our new channel, which is AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. That is where you can find all of the sports coverage if you are a sports person, or if you're in it for the wrestling, for the WWEs, make sure to follow us there because it's you won't get as congested as if you were following the regular AfterBuzz TV channel.
Yeah.
So that's where you can get Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Lucha Underground, even though there are only two episodes left in the season, X-Pac 12360, Ringside Pop, and our pay-per-view coverage. So please make sure to subscribe.
See, you know, the reason I like that is you get to avoid all those dumb housewife shows.
Yeah, all of the...
There's like 50 of them.
All of the silly reality television. Now let's talk about pro wrestling.
Them. That's real.
Real has Melbourne, Los Angeles, New York, Orange County, Dallas.
There's a Melbourne?
There's a Melbourne one.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and we had Dan Babick fresh from Australia to host that. It was one of his first shows. Either way, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this. So, also, if you've been noticing all of the issues that we have been having with YouTube, we sent a higher up today and was talking directly with YouTube.
It's
down
so
in Marina
nice
Del Rey.
When we get cease and desist.
No, but here's the thing is we got it all as far as we know. Everything is taken care of. Everything is back to normal. That's why we are streaming on this channel and not the OG AfterBuzz channel, just because. So
I just wish
we should be fine.
They treated professional wrestling a little bit better.
Me too. I don't know why
it's
not advertiser friendly, quote unquote. Anyway.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No idea.
All right, so speaking of advertiser friendly, let's talk about the first match of the night, which is a triple threat qualifier to get into the NXT Women's Championship match. This is Peyton Royce versus Liv Morgan versus Nikki Cross. Now, whether Nikki was in the ring or not, she was in control. To me, she was in control the entire time, whether it was mind games or physically.
She's the commanding force.
Yeah.
Truly. Because if she's not in the ring, you have to watch out for where she is. And if she is in the ring, you're trying to stop her and whatever she's doing. She is an absolute force. She just inspires fear in everybody. And it was interesting seeing how things progressed later in this match as there was a fourth person introduced who still was goaded into the situation, wanted nothing to do with her, but was being paid or promised some sort
prodded
of
in some
something.
Way.
Hey, go do this for me, baby. And
God, I hope he didn't say that.
I hope he did.
And it, well, especially so let's just get right to that. Undisputed Era comes out with Tenera Conti, who was one of the women in the Mae Young Classic that stood out but was eliminated in the first round. And she was presented as this tough as nails, no nonsense, came out with a robe like it was an MMA fight. A user of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, being from Brazil, they just call it jiu-jitsu. But yes. this hard-edged, tough-as-nails competitor gets in, and as soon as she locks eyes with Nikki Cross, terrified. Just pure terror, which I think does amazing things for everybody considering Nikki Cross that much crazier and that much more of an unhinged element. But also, I like Undisputed Era starting to go into other divisions and seemingly try to round themselves out. Similar to Sanity, they're trying to look for that fourth key member that can take part in the women's
division. They're trying to play games like Sanity. They're trying to meet Sanity at Sanity's level. And I don't think you can do that. I don't think there is a female that is sort of an non... somebody who doesn't have any affiliations. Yeah. Somebody like a Conti who's newer and doesn't have any affiliations. There's nobody that they can bring in like that that can compete with Nikki Cross. Even the established females on NXT at this time cannot handle Nikki Cross.
No. But because it was a triple threat match, of course, that means that there were no disqualifications. So we noticed there was like a hair pull... slammed to the ground.
And Ref Drake said not a word.
And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Why is it, get out of Drake. And then you were like, no, it's a triple threat match.
Right. It even took me a minute. I'm like, no, wait, there's no rules.
No disqualification.
You can do it. No count out,
no DQ. You can do whatever you want. It's just first pin or submission and win. But the distraction from Conti leads to Cross running into a beautiful kick from Peyton Royce.
And off.
It's like a cleaver, like a scythe.
Brutal.
And then the fisherman with that bridge, that bridge though, for the win, Peyton advances to the fatal four way. Wow. Feel sorry for Liv Morgan getting caught up in this because she seemed to be like unofficially eliminated.
I think
right
she,
before.
Well, she took I think it's called the Tower of London, if I remember correctly, but that twisting neck breaker from the top. And that really put her out. And even at that point, Peyton Royce was laid out. But it was the time in between the moments where Nikki Cross was outside and starting to gain steam towards the interloper in this match that she was able to recover. Peyton then hit both moves back to back and was able to put her away. But Liv Morgan, I think, actually looked very... very good in this match. She was very competitive. Mm-hmm. She hit a lot of very, very clean looking actual strikes, and she looked like a competitor. I wouldn't have been surprised if she had won this tonight. She actually looked better to me tonight than she has in a long time.
Okay, that's fair. I like what Joseph Boza says in the chat. Adam Cole needing help shows how scared he is of Nikki Cross.
No, too true. Everybody is
too true. After this, we got. Again this week, as sort of seemingly as revenge for his supposed debut, Lio Rush versus Velveteen Dream. Now, Lio Rush still very new, but to the industry as a whole, not just to WWE and NXT.
Right.
But one of my favorite things that I got to see from him in this match, something I would say similar to what we saw from Velveteen Dream when we got to, and we keep talking about this match, when we saw Dream versus Drew McIntyre in San Diego, was there was no difference between them. Lio Rush came in, and as far as he was considered, he was the same. He not necessarily the same size, but he was on the same level as Velveteen Dream when it came to just presence and I looked him in the eye.
Yeah, no, Lio Rush thinks very highly of himself, and that's one thing you can glean from all of his interviews and all this stuff. He thinks he is absolutely ready.
Yeah.
So he is going to carry himself as an equal with anybody in that ring. And he's going to, going to treat anybody the way that he would if they were anyone else. It doesn't matter who they are. The opening of this match was Lio Rush slapping the Velveteen Dream straight across his face. face.
Yeah, there's a lot of that tonight.
I mean, and loud snap, and it was on. Mm-hmm. It was on like Donkey Kong.
Well, here's the thing. One of my favorite things, something that I had never seen before, is a lot of times when it comes to small guy versus big guy, we get a situation where you have to get some sort of leverage, and some people use their body weight in different ways because you have to throw it all to get some sort of head over. And at the top of this match, and it just stood out so much, where Leo used the ropes to spring off of just to get an Irish whip because of how much bigger Velveteen Dream was than him. Yeah. And then how fast he was. It's like, and here's my Pokemon nerd showing a little bit more. It's like he used double team, and they were just like him in multiple places, like astral projecting, like this one's going to hit him, this one's going to hit him, that one. It was like a Dragon Ball Z fight. There, I'll put it that way. It was like a Dragon Ball Z fight where it was like, psh, 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 and just like.
And he was able to turn on a dime at one point.
Yes.
It was impressive.
Very impressive.
He has a lot of potential. He needs a little bit more control, mm-hmm. From what I've seen. Just a little bit, but that takes experience. More than anything, experience will get you the control that you need, and you'll learn how to control it.
Exactly, and it took the one seeming fly swatter straight right from Velveteen Dream to shut it all down. He got one shot in, and Leo got maybe a couple of things here and there, but that was it.
Yeah.
And
the power difference was real. I mean, at one point, Leo Rutsch took a huge Irish whip into the corner and fell out of the ring.
And not even like the that Shawn Michaels fell, is.
Yeah, it was his back hit and his legs kind of came up sideways.
Got caught in the ropes and
he fell out sideways. That's the real power difference. And you look at Velveteen Dream, that's truly what he offers. He's very pretty, but he's also as tough as iron, like legit iron.
He's chiseled out of stone.
Yeah, you don't come about looking like that without training really, really hard.
Yeah, and his entrance attire, just showing off the
washboard,
the countless muscles that he has, putting anybody's to shame. That's a big dude, like. Having it be a black shirt against a black background, so then when he took it off, and we even were like, oh my god, he has so many muscles.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
But then also him showing his athleticism of, as he was setting up for the Purple Rainmaker, he was on the second rope, and I was like, oh, since he's small and short, I guess he doesn't have to do the full thing. To which he then just, whoop, popped up onto the top and jumped off, hits the Purple Rainmaker.
From the second to the top. Really no loss of motion, not trying to steady himself. It was really easy for him to get from the second to the top and then just bring all of his weight down on Leo Rutsch again.
And it that last moment of getting the audience to respond. And it's another... Dream keeps getting these new reactions because he's doing stuff that... Definitely the NXT crowd, but the WWE crowd hasn't seen a lot, if at all.
Velveteen Dream is not a wrestler. He's an embodiment of an idea.
Mm.
And that is what wrestling is, and in my opinion, should be. It's not so much who's got the best holds, it's who brings the most of themselves into that ring.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stand out as an individual? How do you separate yourself from everybody else in the locker room? And that's what Velveteen Dream does. And he's one of the best at it, and that's why we are so buzzed to see him go against Aleister Black, again, is another guy who separates himself from everybody in the locker room. That is where you find difference. It is in motivation, and it is in presentation. And the Dream is the best at presentation in the way that he wants you to believe what he is.
Yeah. In chat, Maria Netzing, Velveteen Dream theme is growing on me. You're damn right it is. Yeah. Oh, it's so sexy. And Go ahead.
Just him mouthing along with the song, Velveteen Dream.
Perfect. P.W. Gregory, he is pure in all caps. Sex.
He is sex.
He is pure sex.
Yeah.
Joseph Boza, he will be interesting to follow if he makes it to the WWE main roster and how his character will evolve on TV.
I think this is something that's good enough for WWE main roster TV right now because of the fact that it allows for so much growth. It allows for something to be used in different ways. I mean, that is what television is. They're interested in making television up there. It's not just wrestling. This is a great wrestling show. I love watching the wrestling show. But you have to look at the main roster as we're making a television show, and how can we fill time with people, with characters, with individuals, with wrestlers. And I think that he is presenting as one of those characters that can be used in such a wide range of ways.
And even something that I just thought of, which who knows, but purple is such a prominent part of his persona and his look when it comes to his entrance, Purple Rainmaker being his finisher.
Right.
That what if he comes out in the middle of a cruiserweight? Well, they don't do it on Raw anymore. But what if he comes out in the middle of 205 Live and people are like, "What? You're not a cruiserweight?" He's like, "I know, but I like the purple."
Well, they had. Yeah, no, I could. I mean, purple belt.
Yeah, I like that belt. It's like, but you don't qualify. I don't care. I'm going to beat you up.
Well, then he gets Leo Rush on his side and makes Leo Rush vie for the purple belt.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
But at the end of the match, he sits in the middle of the ring like Aleister Black, doing his arms extended. Yep. And I'm so excited.
This is real. Like, but this feels realer than a lot of feuds have felt in a long time.
And maybe you can comment on this a little bit. A little less ridiculous than a feud that's happening on Raw right now.
Which one?
Featuring
former NXT champion Finn Balor.
And former NXT tag team champion Bray Wyatt.
I think Bray Wyatt is one of the best characters. But they have no clue what to do with him. They have no idea. So they are essentially trying to do anything they think is different and interesting. And I think they booked that whole feud weird and backwards.
Well, really quick, that is something that will stick to Raw just because we do have a little bit more of a loaded show.
It a little bit more loosely here than I do there. Because I really try to shine it up. But man, it's
a little rough.
Not so great.
But Mecha Baloney brings up still love that name. Brings up a wonderful question. How would you say that this, and his words not mine, his erotic gimmick differs from how Goldust's original run did? Now, I would say instantly, they're not making this one seem weird. Goldust was immediately positioned as an outsider and as this, what is this?
This makes me uncomfortable.
Literally the bizarre one. They still call him the bizarre one.
Yeah.
And this one is definitely more bizarre because, or I would say Goldust, rather, is more bizarre because it's face paint, it's a bodysuit, it's this, it's that. Whereas Patrick Clark is now the purest, is being presented as the purest form of himself as represented in the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
And especially because we see Dustin elsewhere, you know, we see Dustin as Dustin. People call him Dusty or Goldie or whatever. So it's one thing where, you know, that's just him now, but you know, it's not as it's, I think it's night and day.
I sort of see where they're coming at somebody in the same sort of way. It's all sort of revolving around you, making you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But it's two different approaches. One is, this is really weird in being gold dust, and I don't want to get near it. And the other is, this guy's going to fight me, but look at him.
Well, no. Is he going to fight me or make love to me?
Right.
Like,
And you have to... I think that is where the conflict is. With Goldust, it's external. It's, I don't like him. Keep him away with me, away from me. But with Velveteen Dream, it's internal. It's, I don't know how to feel about this. Yeah. I didn't know. I like women.
Or even, I like dudes, but I think he wants to beat me up.
Right.
It's different. Either way, I want to come back to that when we talk about a later match in a second. Let's get through Lars Sullivan versus Danny Burch. Danny, I'd say similarly to Leo Rush, doesn't give a damn how big the person is on the other side of that ring.
He never has.
Slap the crap out of him. Yeah. He got a straight ride into Lars that just pissed him off.
Standing there, Lars grasping his jaw going, did that son of a bitch just punch me? Screw you!
Lars... It doesn't go well for Danny.
No.
Hits this really strong clothesline side spine buster, which I think should be called Lars Attacks. And you can get the Lars Attacks shirt on nxteam.spreadshirt.com for the win. And it maybe we're seeing Lars versus Danny and Oni next.
I don't know.
Going back to multi-person matches, but that wouldn't be great for that tag team.
Yeah, I don't see that helping anyone, really.
They get the win if No Way Jose or a new person helps get the win. So that way they get the win. But
so
Lars
then
is like
where
distra-
does Lars go?
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, we got to look back at Rowdy versus Drew last week, which is a great match. Yep. I still ended up catching it, even though I was drugged up. and then, what's new? And then we are getting an interview with Drew McIntyre next week. Cool. Yo, Street Profits versus Marcus Espada and Damian Smith. Montez Ford is a revelation. There's something about his energy and the way that he conducts himself in the ring where it's all similarly. I would say similarly to Velveteen Dream, similarly to Aleister Black, where it's not the bell rings. Okay, it's wrestling time. It's always Montez Ford. It's always Aleister Black. It's always Velveteen Dream. So with this, it was a lot of Street Profits. Just having a good time and ultimately using that to throw off their opponents.
Yeah.
Especially Montez just going around the ring.
Montez just goofing on, especially Damian Smith. Mm-hmm. I know both of the competitors from this evening, but especially Damian Smith, who I trained with out here at Brian Kendrick School, and he came over and trained at the Hollywood School for a bit, and I like the guy a lot, and I'm glad to see him traveling so much more and getting his face out there. I think he's really talented, and if he sticks with it, he's really going to be able to pull something off. That being said, Montez Ford was laughing in his face
yes,
tonight
he was.
And playing him as a joke, and it was... Oh,
and
it was
here's
great, but terrible.
So something that now, I know I just said it, that they were having a good time, and it shouldn't be all super serious things in the ring, but something that I've been noticing on commentary a little bit more increasingly it's been bothering me. Anytime that there's a highly energetic black superstar, they go, he's here to have a good time! And he likes to have a good time, like with Rich Swann back when he had the Cruiserweight Championship, and he's singing and dancing, and these guys dancing in the ring. And both of those guys, that has been inherent in their characters since their beginning.
Right.
And that's one thing. But, you know, we heard a little bit about Montez Ford being a three-sport athlete and his beginnings. He is,
so where does one end and the other begin? That's kind of the question.
Yeah, let's find the middle ground. He was training so hard that maybe he didn't have enough time to party back in college, so he's using that now. Let's add the story into it instead of it just being, hey, like to have a good time. This person also likes to have a good time.
He was a three-sport athlete, and now he likes to have a good time. But where did that start?
It's like,
that's where the interesting part is.
Where did he pick up the cup?
Right.
Where did he learn the thing?
I think Kyle O'Reilly's where he learned that. Especially the arm stuff. Kyle O'Reilly.
That's what he's doing. He's poking out Kyle O'Reilly. Yeah. Or Kyle O'Reilly's on Montez Ford. He's like, I could do that. which he can't, but... the Street Profits are amazing, and I'm really sad to say that it is, I would say, mostly because of Montez Ford being such a breath of fresh air. Dawkins is great, and we've been a fan of his work over the past couple of years. He's been here and there when it comes to solo work, when it comes to tag work. Like, him and Sawyer Fulton were a thing for a little while, and then Sawyer Fulton was Insanity, and then that wasn't a thing. But a lot of Dawkins that we have been seeing has been the same.
Right.
And he's still stirring it up, and it's like, cool, great.
Where's your next thing?
Yeah.
Like, start to, I don't know, man. Like, it's tough. Part of me goes, well, you know, who else was sort of in that position and then found somebody was Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan found Chad Gable, and both of them together were able to make such a splash and pull something out of each other that got them to the main roster. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, granted, there were a lot of ups and downs along that way, but they got themselves there. So maybe Montez Ford and Dawkins could get themselves to the main roster together.
And I would also like to see them start to be tested a little bit further. Right now in the tag team division, there are still two huge monster tag teams, the Authors of Pain and our Meat Boys, the Heavy Machinery. So where let's see them start to get tested. Let's get into the pro wrestling of it all.
Right. And I do have a hard time believing right now that the Street Profits can overcome a tag team that has a real serious size advantage. Even Montez Ford was making a joke of it tonight. He looked at Damian Smith and said, "Little man."
Yeah. Like, and then got on his knees. And I didn't, right. I didn't misspeak, but that's partially my fault. And I think a little bit more work that needs to be done on commentary. Dawkins is a three-sport athlete. Montez Ford was a Marine.
Oh. Well, yeah. Then we need some explanation.
Yeah. So it's the middle ground. And ultimately, my point in this is it's become a little bit too frequent of hearing exciting black athletes as, "Hey, we're here to have a good time." There's more there. There's more, and going back to Velveteen Dream, completely different type of character. If we're gonna be diverse, don't stick to the same lines.
Right.
Let's truly, if you want to be diverse, be diverse.
Well, I mean, even last week we were talking about last week's commentary. I don't know if you heard us talk about that.
Unfortunately, I missed the show.
That's okay. They were saying some weird stuff during commentary,
which,
like,
match?
Giving us too much information. Kairi Sane, they said she had a bachelor's in Japanese
sailing.
Literature, something like that. It's like, what? That doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's saying Aaliyah was fluent in Arabic or something like that. Does not affect what goes on inside the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to do a little bit better job of telling the story of how these two personalities are actually going to hash it out instead of just giving us random facts like they do in sports, and that's okay, but you're trying to do something a little bit more than just give us filler. You're trying to tell a story. You're trying to assist in how we're actually making this thing work together.
And I think that is one of the drawbacks of the tournaments that has happened, is they've seen the popularity of the Cruiserweight Classic, of the UK tournament, of the Mae Young Classic, and go, "Oh, people like that." But they like that because, exactly, they're two different things. If you're trying to present those tournaments as sports, treat those as sports. But if we're into sports entertainment,
right,
it's the entertainment part that matters.
Right. It's like, like getting out of a small pool and getting into like a lake. Mm-hmm. You know, now the rules have changed. Now the way you look at an individual in a larger space, in a larger context, has changed. In a tournament, you get this much time, and yeah, you got to pack in as much information about this person as you can. But now, when they transfer over to the more expansive universe, you have to start telling us how this person is going to use what they have to get over on this person, and ultimately, vie for a championship in the long run.
And it's instead of having these lines where it's like, oh, well, I've like I just did with Montez Ford, I have his Wikipedia page up.
Sure.
And that's how I'm looking at these facts. Like, oh, cool, this, I mean, they made their debut here at the Fort Pierce and over there, this. But, like, that's not cool. Right. Now, or that's cool, but now, that, like, I thought their thing with the crowd, like, give them, let us see how that evolves. Let us see how they turn, how they change the NXT universe, literally. And that makes, and that would make me go a little bit more than in recent times, I want to be in that crowd.
Right.
So that I can party with Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins.
Right. And then have commentary explain why it matters that they have this rapport with the audience. I can explain it, but it doesn't matter what I say because they're on television and I'm not. So they need to say the rapport with the audience is massively important because the audience is going to give them the energy they need to overcome any obstacles that they have. Mm-hmm. Truly, a fighter can only go so far as the audience is willing to come with them. But the audience gives energy to the fighter in the ring so that they are able to go further than even they know how, so that they can overcome obstacles that are in their way so that they can possibly win a championship and beat bigger and arguably better foes in the future. I can say that. They need to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's that.
Hold on. That's not
doing
okay, good. Yeah, no. I thought they renamed a tag team and I was like, why would you think that was a good name for nothing. Never mind. that's me. But either way, they went out to the crowd and they found a guy with a Street Profits sign.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm a super duper fan that doesn't have an opportunity to talk to or about these people, that and I want to be a part of that party, I'm going to go to the NXT tapings.
Right.
I'm going to make a Street Profits sign. I'm going to buy a Street Profits shirt. I'm going to buy a Street Profits cup so that when they look out in the crowd, they see me and they want to party with me.
Right. Because now they're your friends.
And now they have people all over the crowds representing them, and the Street Profits becomes this community.
Yeah.
And there's reports after the last taping that, or not reports, but hopefully we get to see it, of Montez Ford getting to talk directly to the NXT universe and share this moment with the crowd. And I really hope we get to see that, because that is the moment that we want commentary to be referring to, is their connection to the audience and how that affects them in this match, like you were just saying.
Yeah.
Because that's what's important.
Absolutely.
It's not, hey, he likes anime. You know, whatever.
What does that even mean? No, it's stuff like that. The facts are fun to know, but context is the most important thing. Without context, facts don't make a difference at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, there's a different place for that. All right, next week, we got a little bit of a rundown of a couple of matches that we're going to be getting. Ruby Riott versus Ember Moon versus Sonya Deville next week as the Women's Championship qualifier for TakeOver Houston.
Pretty good.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And Sonya's going to tower over them by like a foot and a half.
Maybe.
Sanity versus Undisputed Era in a six-man tag. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Excited for those matches. Okay. I am very excited to talk about this next match. And if you told us a year ago that you would be excited for this match for the reasons why I ended up being excited for it by the end of it, we wouldn't believe you. Johnny Gargano versus El Idolo Andrade Cien Almas. And the shift, like, the match was going, and we were like, cool, similar stuff, similar affairs, this, that, okay, cool. But the turning point for me came at a move that we've seen for the past year and a half, however long Andrade has been on TV, where Johnny throws him into the ropes, and he catches himself, like he do, and instead of sitting there for like 10 seconds, like, yeah, I got you, like he used to be super cocky about it, he did it, and the second he saw Johnny coming toward him, dropped down on the ground.
Right.
And what this this told me a couple of things. One, it shows how Zelina, has put him back on track and said, yes, do the stuff to throw them off, but make sure that you're ready. Because by dropping down, over the past couple of months, we've seen him stick in that pose and get kicked in the face for it.
Yeah.
So now by holding it for the amount of time that the opponent thinks that he will be holding it for, one, dropping, if they go for a kick, leg goes right through the ropes, and you're there to take advantage.
Well, it's also you can pick the ankle from that position exactly. really easily. If he puts up that right leg to throw a kick, mm-hmm. you instantly have control over that left ankle.
And two, like we saw, if they don't fall for it and go for a submission like Gargano did, he went for the Gargano escape, you're right there at the rope. Boom, hook.
Right.
Or three, you can escape.
Yeah, yes.
So that move has since become a taunt and has become a tactical advantage to get ahead on his opponent.
Right.
And that already is just thinking back, like, almost his NXT life flashing before my eyes. Just that move alone, what an evolution he's gone through.
Yeah.
And we weren't the biggest fans within, like, month two or three. And we were like, let's hope that he starts working on this, working on this, working on this. And he has.
Yeah.
Not to give the only credit, like, storyline credit to Zelina Vega.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But Almas has been working and working. And now he's at a point where he's really starting to make a difference in that ring. And I'll put it this way. Gargano is still expecting the Almas of old. And he's been preparing for the Almas of old. But even since their first match, Almas has been growing and changing with every subsequent match to the point where he keeps getting victories over Johnny. And I love it. I love it.
I think he Almas has an edge to him, and he always has. The difference is, back when he first started, his edge was sort of out of the ring. He just wanted to get his work day done so he could go out and party. But now he's got somebody in his ear that's telling him that he can do both. You can be successful, you can beat people, and still go out and have a good time. So now has more of an edge in the ring than he did previously. He's got that killer instinct. And it doesn't surprise me that he's able to get these wins over Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano does not have the killer instinct. He is a Boy Scout. And wrestling is no place for Boy Scouts.
Yeah, Superman. But in one of the things that Almas noticed and changed is, ever since he debuted, he's been doing the knees to the face in the corner. And one of the major drawbacks of that is, if they have enough wherewithal, they can see you coming, and there's plenty of time to move.
Yeah.
Even if you move just a little bit out of the way, you can avoid a major impact. And in this match, he started it in this match, because I don't think he's done it.
No, he never did it before.
So in this match, with Gargano resting up, facing the post, he hits the knees to the back of the head.
Just worse.
And that's twice!
Worse. Yeah.
Like, Johnny got messed up. He got super messed up, and that one probably wouldn't have been enough, but he hits him twice, hits him with the hammerlock DDT, and gets the win.
Yeah.
The decisive win.
Yeah, no, this was a statement.
Mm-hmm.
This was a statement after that. The first knees was out of necessity. He caught him in just the right way. He hooked the leg coming through Gargano, trying to get to the escape. But, of course, Cien being just a little bit quicker, he is quick.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say he's not. He's got an incredible amount of skill. It's just he up until now, he's not been using it in the ways that benefit him. But now he's using it in very, very controlled ways. And Gargano's face went right into that turnbuckle, and then he just annihilated both his back and his head with those knees. Because there's one thing to be sitting with your back against the turnbuckle and just taking the pressure. That's okay, but now when your face is up, your spine is at an unnatural angle, and the added pressure just kills your back.
Yeah.
I mean, just kills your back. So there was no way Gargano could have come back from that, as far as I can see. There's no way. Now, I would like to see Almas do it in this way in the future, but it's tough. It's a difficult thing to do, getting somebody to be hung up on the ropes in that way for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
That's difficult. So I sort of am waiting with bated breath to see if he can do this again on somebody else.
How well he can integrate it into his matches in the
right.
future. Or if this was just a luck of the draw sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Either way, decisive victory. There was a moment where Vega got his attention by showing that she was wearing a DIY shirt, and Jenna's like, no, that's not gonna work on me anymore. And it's like, but
if we're having this conversation,
I overdid it. While he was doing the Gargano escape on Almas, but
right.
he was keeping an eye on her.
Because then he got his foot to the ropes, and then she hopped up on the apron.
And then that's when he was like, it doesn't work anymore. He was like, yeah, well, your back's to your opponent.
We're having this conversation. Yeah. So it obviously worked, dummy.
But and that's where the advantage came. But it wasn't a roll-up holding tights. It wasn't that.
No.
It was still physicality.
Yeah.
And if, you know, the first reaction should have stuck. If it really didn't do anything, then just keep an eye. Like, right. Can you imagine if he just had put Almas in a headlock and just went, la, 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 not lit, like, whatever, just whatever's like, I don't care. Or if it was headlock and then go back into the ropes, knocking her off of the apron.
Right.
Like, there are multiple ways to make that, to send that message home, staring the distraction square at the face and going, you're not distracting me.
Right. You can't distract me.
I'm distractionless.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. Gargano's, he's a talent, but like I said, there's a lot to be said for a guy who lacks the killer instinct, which is why he and Ciampa were such a good team. One of them is very technically sound, and the other hits hard and just hates everything. So, together they were great, but I don't think Gargano can survive on his own. I can be wrong.
I guess we'll find out.
I've been wrong a lot, but hey.
I mean, with Johnny getting the... Yeah, I mean, he's not been... He's had the courage of like, yeah, let's keep fighting. But he's gotten hit in the head a lot and lost a lot.
Right.
He's been staring at the lights a lot. So let's see where he goes, where Almas goes after this, and where Gargano goes. Now, I should have said it at the top of the show, but I'll say it again. We know that they tape. We know that the show is to... I'm
is
going
that
somewhere
up for to, debate?
No. Well, okay. No, because of this reason.
Okay.
We don't talk about spoilers.
Ah.
Because there are people who, like us, don't read ahead to see what's happening so that we can watch it on television and enjoy ourselves.
Right.
Now, there was a piece of news that we don't need the drop for that was officially announced that we can talk about, and that's that NXT TakeOver Houston has become NXT TakeOver War Games.
We talked about that a bit last week. Huge
okay.
news. Couldn't avoid it.
Yeah.
Because that was official, and that's a really interesting thing to be used in a takeover.
Especially where you don't, like, there isn't a lot of room already.
Right.
And they don't use all of the seats in the arenas for that.
Yeah.
So, to make sure that there's room for two rings.
And how are they just, I don't know, man. I just want to see how this goes.
See, now, a way that I can see it happening is, and this is kind of a waste, but if there are three rings... There are two rings on either side of the entrance.
Okay.
And then there's the ring in the center.
Oh, okay.
So by the time the main event comes along, or the War Games match comes along, you bring the two rings together and drop the cage right there, so then it becomes a proscenium thing. And maybe that's why they've been working proscenium theaters, so that people work three quarters of a crowd.
Maybe. Well, even it's more like 50% to... two-thirds.
Yeah.
But, boy, I don't know. That's, you know how hard it is to move a ring? I don't even
yes.
know.
Yes, I do.
How, I don't know how you'd even do that.
So, but that, but then the thing will become, how do you, are the other matches going to make that second ring, make something out of that second ring?
That's
depends on what the matches are.
Right.
Depends on what the matches are. Again, no spoilers.
It would be a war game. The entire show would be War Games. If
well,
they had two rings and
switch off using certain rings. But like, how does that make the ropes on the one side that's connected to the other ring? Or is it one set of ropes? Like what?
Well, no, I mean, the way they used to do it, they used to just put both rings just back to back to each other. And so there was a small gap where the two aprons met and then two sets of ropes, which is where that one gif of I forget which luchador and just Conan staring at him as he springboarded on three ropes. And then she just hit him and Conan's like, oh, my God. Like, even I would have gone, yeah, he's going to fall. He can't hit me from there. It can be really interesting for somebody who has... like a real luchador type ability, so to speak. So if Leo Rush was doing the working on that show,
it would be
fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But I have no friggin' clue what they have planned. It's War Games. I don't know what you want to do, but I imagine they have a plan. They're not going to announce something and just go, it's, we don't know. We don't know what we're doing. No, they have to go ahead of time. I don't know. War Games, I don't know. Just
War Games,
just screaming things. It's like an improv group. Wrestling is improv. War Games, we're doing War Games.
I need a location, a name, and a stipulation.
Houston, and War Games. And
all right, we'll make it work. All right, so I was going to the store the other day. I don't know, it's always the store with an improv show. We were at the store, I guess.
Maybe that's the name of a good improv group. I was talking with somebody about names of improv groups, and
War Games is a good name of one.
No, actually, he had the his comeback to me was, this is not an invitation for suggestions. And I went, that's the perfect name for an improv group. Invitation. This is not the invitation for suggestions.
It's a little long. A little hard to put on a marquee. But, you know.
Why? You just do all the letters.
And NIFs.
NIFs. Yeah.
Yeah, we're the NIFs.
We're the NIFs. And all of you just shut up. We're not asking you for anything. Just shut up and sit there.
So, yeah, we got a lot deeper in a short amount of time than I thought we were going to, which is great.
I'm not surprised. It's you and me.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for
a while.
15
years.
16
We've been doing this for 28 years.
It's going to get to that point.
Yeah. Like, we just talk about wrestling, and sometimes there'll be a camera on, sometimes there won't.
Right.
Sometimes it'll be the gimmick, sometimes it'll be the NXT team, whatever.
Yep. And wherever we go, it's always going
to
be good.
And wherever we go, you can go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com and pick up a shirt to help support us in all of our endeavors. All of our endeavors. Again, please give Bill Hanstock some love. Go to Sundown at twitter.com/Sundown Motel. On uprocks.com, Brandon Stroud recently started going back to OG Impact, OG TNA.
That's going
to
be fun.
I fear it. I kind of want to get a trial of the new thing just so that I can be like, what is this? Because I never watched any of the OG. The only match that I saw was like the 6-way ladder match with Amazing Red, for the first X Division title match, whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, we're not talking about that. We're talking about WWE. Make sure that you subscribe here on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports for more wrestling goodness. Go back and watch our No Mercy coverage. Check out our show. Today we had Kevin Nash on X-Pac 12360.
Big Kev.
Big Kev. We're talking about a lot of stuff. Let's just say, and this isn't necessarily just a reference to an old WCW pay-per-view, we went hog wild a little bit on some of the stuff we were talking about. It was like, hey, Sean, do you want me to take any of that? He's like, it's Kev, whatever. So, make sure you go check that out. Go to XPOC12360. Use the hashtag XPOC12360. Go to Sean's Twitter account, @TheRealXPOC, so that you can get the links to all of that and all of his upcoming appearances, because there's some fun stuff that he has planned and some stuff, fun stuff that we have planned. So follow him. That'll be the first place where we announce stuff, so make sure to follow him there. But, hey, where would we follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TrueHobo. Like Mr. Donica said, you can go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com.
nxteam.spreadshirt.com
to buy any of our shirts and wares. And if you could go to youtube.com/SoapboxCardTV and watch all my matches that I have uploaded there, that'd be great. And combat YouTube, because they're assholes.
Also, do us a favor, on SoapboxCardTV, we have a lot of older content from a couple of years ago that we put a lot of heart and soul and love into, and it was so much fun.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Pixel Pro Wrestling. We reviewed some movies with wrestlers in it, like Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yes.
Dear God. The original The Wrestler with Vern Gagne and Ed Asner. Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, and we had an arc with Wrestling Fred that was so if you like. If you like gaming, if you like Let's Plays, if you like professional wrestling, go back, give it a watch, give us a comment, because we didn't necessarily have all of you dedicated viewers that we have now on AfterBuzz TV, and so please go back, watch that, leave comments, because if we can find an excuse to start that stuff up again, yeah. man, we probably will. Yeah. We had an actual belt, the Pick Support Wrestling Championship that we used to have.
Have. It exists.
No, have. It's... That, but had in terms of we used to have on this show, yeah. and we used to feature it, and we used to promote back when Kathy was on, and we had some, oh God, yeah, we had, I've got lists of stuff that we had planned for that, but it was so much fun. Please make sure to go check that out, youtube.com/soapboxcartv, support it, give it a thumbs up, give it a comment. You can find me at Mark B. Donica. What's the next thing I'm doing? I think the next time you'll see me is on the game show that I do, Inventory Full. We are on Twitch at Inventory Full PT. We stream video games, and with WWE 2K18 coming out, I'm probably going to be streaming a lot of that, but right now, Destiny, Overwatch, a whole bunch of stuff. So that's Inventory Full PT, me at Mark B. Donica. Follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. And leave us reviews on iTunes. Thank you so much for watching. Leave us a comment down below. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Well, the team buzz.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.